Thank you, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It's time for the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. And the music is happy. That must mean the Dow Jones Industrial Average and S&P are in positive territory. I don't know. It's Tuesday. John Najarian joins us on Tuesday from the NajarianFamilyOffice.com and CNBC at John Najarian on Twitter as well. John, welcome back to the Business Lunch.
Great to be here as always. Thank you, Steve.
So we started up, we went down, and we're back in positive territory today. What's going on Wall Street?
Well, they're still assessing the likelihood that the Fed will move or not move. And I think the predominant belief right now is the Fed will not move in September, Stephen. That's because really two big inputs last week, the ISM, which was actually under 50, which means that they see a contraction in the Institute of Supply Management. That's the manufacturing. The non-manufacturing number came out today, and it also missed badly. Of course, we had a jobs report that was 155,000. That's on the low end of estimates, so that's why I say these three in a row have really sort of pushed the idea that when the Fed says we're data dependent, the data right now is saying that the Fed is unlikely to move in September, much as they would like to otherwise.
But gold has been charging up, hasn't it, in anticipation of a rate hike?
It's been charging up, and there could be a whole bunch of reasons for it. As you know, rate hike could be one. Another could be just sort of nervousness. China, of course, was still sort of flexing its muscle, I guess, when our president showed up over there G20.
By not opening the right door for him?
Yeah,
right.
By making him come out the emergency exit of his own plane instead of, you know, coming down the main exit. That's probably protocol and maybe a little rudeness, perhaps, but it's certainly not going to start an international incident. But nonetheless, when you have, you know, Putin and Obama staring each other down and trying to agree on some sort of way to handle ISIS and or the Syrian situation, and China more or less not happy with the president and telling him, at least one of their officials, telling him, this is our country, this is how we do things over here. That could be some of the contributions to that pop out of gold. And it could also be, since gold sold off fairly hard.
Right.
Gold had come down, and in particular after the some of the other inputs prior to those that I mentioned were rather bullish and implied the Fed might move, I think those were reasons that perhaps gold had sold off more.
Well, I think people who live there would say it's always a good day to be in Naperville, but today's especially good because Navistar stock is rising pretty dramatically and word that Volkswagen is making an investment.
Yeah, 19 point something percent. Big move there. And Volkswagen, despite having those issues, which were not imagined by the press, but were real. You know, they had dummied up their EPA tests to basically allow for higher emissions than the engines were supposed to be putting out. They've overcome that, and that's pretty amazing how quickly they've overcome it, and perhaps partly because of the how well the rest of the company is run. And how quickly they admitted that it was an issue and addressed it almost immediately.
Well, you know, that's a big point, isn't it? And that's one of the things that they tell you to do. You know, don't try to run from it. Don't try to cover it up. Admit the mistake and then deal with it that way.
Yep. And they clearly did that. They've made some changes to the management and even the board over at Volkswagen. They do make a tremendous car. I have not owned one, but I have thought that their efficient diesel technology is among the best. But apparently, some of the ways that they had made it the best were the things
that
I just addressed.
They doctored the numbers. But, yeah, so, yeah. You know, come to think of it, I'm not a big car guy, but we actually have a VW Bug, a blue convertible that we bought used last year at 2003, and it's going strong. So, okay,
yep.
Let's go to Apple. I think we've done pretty well. We've talked 5 minutes without bringing up Apple. But
True. They
are going to unveil their new phone tomorrow. And Apple's been in trouble lately because the sales of iPhones have dropped off a bit in the U.S. I mean, I think everyone has one, right? How much harder can it go? But how important is this announcement for them tomorrow?
Well, because there is a pretty active Twitterverse and blogosphere talking about what they believe are leaked pictures of the iPhone 7 and implying that maybe it won't have a port or an input for your headphones, that this would just be a Bluetooth connectivity. That and various waterproofing and perhaps better battery life, those are the sorts of things we're hearing. There's a whole bunch more, but those are the sorts of things we're hearing already. And the question is that enough, as you say, to get people to upgrade?
You know, they just can't seem to score outside the phone, right? I mean, Apple Watch came out. I'm reading that Apple Watch sales were down 27% over the last year, while wearables in general were up almost 25%.
Yeah, very true. And the fact that it hasn't had a significant upgrade in the year that it's been out there is part of it. And maybe at least some of the things we're hearing are that maybe they might have an upgrade of that Apple Watch before Christmas. That could be something that could help if indeed it is a step higher towards more of the Fitbit sort of experience that people like, apparently, a lot more than they liked the experience with the Apple Watch.
Well, you say that like you don't have a Fitbit, John?
I do.
Oh, okay.
I love the Fitbit.
I just got one.
It wakes me up and tracks my working out and all the rest. I love the device. It's also about a third of the price, maybe even less than that, of the list of the Apple Watch, although, as you say, those have been coming down.
I got one just a few weeks ago, and I never thought I was going to be a Fitbit guy, and I'm kind of loving it. All right, real quick, do you have a stock tip for us today?
Yes, I do. Symantec, S-Y-M-C. We saw this one, unusual activity. That's one of our primary catalysts. And the reason is probably a very bullish article in Barron's over the weekend, where they project that the internet security company could see at least 25% upside from here. And it's had a furious run into this. It's up 3% last week, 13% over the last month. It does appear to be doing just about everything right. And they've incorporated now a company they bought last year called Blue Coat Systems into their security offerings. So we bought a bunch of this for clients today, Steve.
John Najarian. Check out John at NajarianFamilyOffice.com. Thanks for spending part of your day with us today, John. I appreciate it.
Thanks for letting me. Have a great day, Steve.
You bet. You too. It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. It's 1223. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thanks very much for tuning in. Andrew Herman is here to talk about some openings and closings around Chicago. Andrew's an editor at DNAinfo.com. Welcome back to the program, Andrew.
Hey, Steve.
And so, you know, you just walked here from your offices, a nice sunny summer day, a nice day to start school in Chicago.
It's fall.
Yeah, so it's got to be cooking. I think the mayor said they're going to have air conditioning in all the schools by the end of this year.
Wow.
So there probably are still a few without.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. And, you know, there are a lot of these old buildings, and you have to sort of retrofit them for air conditioning, and they don't have natural forced air systems.
Well, okay, that's a good point. Then one of the stories we're talking about is this company that's buying some of these schools that were closed in Mayor Daley's first term. And that's got to be a challenge that they're facing.
Yeah, so this is a company, Sviegos Asset Management. They're actually out of Buffalo Grove. And as you say, you know, in 2013, the city closed about 50 schools. And this company has been getting in there and redeveloping them. They're involved in a couple in Westtown, one in Andersonville, and now getting ready to finish up in Lincoln Park. And that's the Mulligan School, 1855 North Sheffield. And it's a beautiful school built in 1890.
That's it. You know, they are beautiful buildings when you drive by one in any neighborhood and see the boys' entrance and the girls' entrance on the outside.
Yeah.
Are they effective apartment buildings or attractive apartment buildings?
It appears to be because just based on the activity that this guy's doing. But as you point out, they are old buildings, so they have to be retrofitted. And so that it is kind of costly, but you have these buildings. This one is from 1890. And so what they do is they They get them landmarked, and that gives them sort of federal tax credits and gives them all sorts of deals from the city. And in this particular case at Mulligan School, or the old Mulligan School, they're turning the school into 25 apartments. Most of them are 2- and 3-bedroom apartments with about 1,200 square feet, but they have turned the school gymnasium into an extra-large place, 2,200 square feet, with a foyer and a loft.
Wow.
In the old gym.
Well, that wouldn't be bad, but just imagine the bad vibe of moving into an old math classroom. That would not be good.
Yeah.
Let's talk weddings, though. We have this some time, too.
Sure.
I was thinking, so there's David's Bridal, right? You see those in all the malls. And now there's this, I guess, mini chain Lovely that's coming to Old Town.
Right. So
and
this,
they're cooler, they say.
Yes, they say they're cooler. Like you say, David's Bridal, they're the industry giant. They have about 300 locations. So that's the big chain. And then you have a lot of mom-and-pop places. And so this Lovely Bridal Shop, as they call them, they're now in 12 different cities, some of them franchised, some of them owned by the woman who started them. And they're opening one up at 1657 North Wells this September. And the deal is that they have, I guess, all the brands that people want, that young people want, in sort of a laid-back atmosphere.
It's cool.
I'm not really familiar with the whole bridal world and what the atmosphere is at most of these places, but they seem to be doing pretty well. I mean, they started in 2010. They've already got a dozen stores, so they are moving forward, and they're in a business where you can make a lot of money.
You know, I was reading the story in DNA Info, and one of the things I didn't realize is they're always finding ways to make money off of you in weddings. And the new thing is an anniversary dress?
Yeah, yeah. So after you've gone through and you've bought the wedding dress, which are averaging about $1,500 now.
Say that again?
$1,500. And then you sell the reception dresses. I guess brides now have second dresses for the wedding.
Sure,
and then a year later, they come back and they buy an anniversary dress.
I'm sure that they would offer at Lovely, the cool wedding shop, a package where you can get all three dresses, right? It's like discount on the anniversary.
If you're very optimistic and you say, I know this thing is going to last at least a year,
right.
I'll take it.
I don't think that, I don't know where to go from there.
Yeah.
Okay, so is this sort of a new trend?
So this is evidently a new trend. I ask the people in my office, always a good thing to do.
Right.
I ask a group of journalists if they've ever heard of anything, and everybody was sort of blank-faced. But the trend they were telling me is that the bride's dresses don't necessarily all look alike anymore, that they might have sort of the same shade of color, but everybody doesn't have to wear the same.
The bridesmaids, dress. Right.
Yeah, the bridesmaids.
It's funny you say that, because Bill and Wendy were talking about it just earlier today, so good to know. And I don't really have any bridesmaids dresses at home. You don't either, do you?
No, but as two fathers of daughters, here's some good news. 75% of the couples are paying for their own wedding,
ding,
or at least
ding,
contributing
ding, ding.
To it.
All right, Andrew Herman from DNAinfo.com. Thanks for coming by.
Okay.
Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Business Lunch, and she is absolutely spoiled because producer Michael Heideman now has found a calling to
really
come up with
it. Really makes my day.
Suzanne Mushin is here, the co-host of The Big Payoff at WGNplus.com. Welcome back. You had a couple
Thanks.
Weeks off.
Was it one week.
Was it a month? Was it a...
week off.
So
must feel that way for you, though.
It was really hard. Okay, we got a lot to cover, and yep. I want to start with Fox settling with Gretchen Carlson.
Yeah.
Now, she unleashed this firestorm on Roger Ailes by saying that she had been sexually mistreated in the workplace and then sued. And Fox basically, well, they almost admitted it.
Pretty much. I mean, if you read that statement from them, and you have it in front of you, maybe you can grab the line, it's pretty clear that they're saying that they know that there was misconduct.
We are proud that she was part of the Fox News team. We sincerely regret and apologize for the fact that Gretchen was not treated with the respect and dignity that she and all of our colleagues deserve.
Right. Now, it walks that
line.
Well,
sure, you're never going to quite.
You're never going to get, yes, and we know that she was actually really harassed here.
She was among many women who work here
right,
who were sexually.
And who were shamed and harassed. But it does, I actually appreciated the fact that they even went there. Right. And then her statement is also pretty important because she says, this may be done, this case may be over, but I'm still going to continue to promote and talk about how important it is for women in the workplace to be treated well.
And I've got $20 million.
I mean, come on,
right? Okay, so it comes...
So let's also talk about that. Something pretty bad had to be going on there.
That's some super big money, isn't it? I'm glad you said that because I wasn't... I thought that too. And also today then at Fox, maybe overshadowed, is word that Greta Van Susteren is out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, that's a huge thing.
That is a huge thing. And Brit Hume is going to replace her in that nightly show. But she was a big Roger Ailes supporter.
She was. So what do you think happened?
I just wonder if Megan or Gretchen, Gretchen and Greta. So I wonder if Gretchen, I wonder if it's part of the deal.
Oh, that could be such a good theory.
Yeah.
That could be such a good theory. But you know what? It is true. That's a little, the timing of that is a little suspicious.
Well, it came out. I mean, it was within minutes. So.
Could have been part of the settlement for sure. Let's just start that rumor now.
It's not rumor. It's speculation.
Okay. Let's just start it and see what happens. Let's see if we get any tweets or anything from people asking us to rescind that.
There's got to be a reason.
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
It wasn't expected. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a big follower of Fox.
I don't really enjoy her either.
Okay. You want to talk about... I'm really uncomfortable with this.
I know you are.
I'm incredibly uncomfortable talking about Brock Turner and all of this.
It's so interesting. I mean, we could go there. Why you're so uncomfortable.
Right.
But is that for another show?
I don't know. Let's just see how...
let's see how you do.
Let's see how it goes.
Well, let me take the lead on it then. Okay, I think the...
Brock Turner, the former Stanford athlete...
Who,
convicted, sentenced for rape.
Not for rape, for assault.
For assault,
because by California law, what he did was actually technically not rape, which is part of the whole problem here.
So he served a sentence of 6 months. He served 3 months and was released, which is typical of an inmate in the California prison system.
Pretty typical. So he was released over the weekend. And there's been an enormous amount of backlash around that. I mean, look, 3 months. Now, his life is clearly ruined. So let's just say that.
Right.
Not that I'm unhappy about that. But what's happened is it sparked this conversation. And I think Vox News did this piece on it, which was truly spectacular because it was tongue-in-cheek and it was funny and entertaining, but what it really did was highlighted some facts. So the big one that they said is while he was serving that 3 month sentence, the Department of Justice would report that 75,000 women were raped during that period.
Which
that's
is
an astounding number.
3 months, that is incredible. Yeah.
So I don't know about you. I just dropped my daughter off at college. I know you dropped off your son. They had this ceremony on the campus called matriculation where the provost and the president, everybody speaks. And inside a speech, which I think is pretty typically about, you know, life and what's next and go follow your dream, was a very deliberate piece said by the president on campus rape. And how seriously they took it and how, you know, everybody needed to have respect for it. It just, I was shocked and pleased by how out front they were about it. No one minced words.
Did your daughter have to take a whole online course and everything like that?
Yes.
And so did my son, who we dropped off a couple of weeks ago at Miami of Ohio. And you know, I have a daughter at Dayton, and it's obviously something that they talk about quite a bit. Have you seen the protests outside his home?
Oh, yeah. That's why I say, I mean, this guy, I know, right? It's this, he deserves what he deserves.
I'm showing Suzanne a picture, which you've seen, but this guy standing outside, and, this family lives in the neighborhood adjacent to the University of Dayton.
Correct.
A neighborhood that my daughter's in a lot.
Yep.
And here's a man with... I don't know if it's a semi-automatic or automatic weapon.
Open and carry state.
He's one of many with them strapped around him, and he's holding a sign saying, shoot your local rapist.
Yeah.
Completely legal. I mean, there are other pictures with the cops there. Now, I should say he lives in that neighborhood. They've moved a little bit out.
Yes. Well, look, part of the problem was not just his behavior, but his father's response to it afterwards, who basically said he thought his son shouldn't be punished for, quote, 20 minutes of action.
Right.
So there was a whole response to this situation. And I think the big takeaway for me is this is very real. It's very real on college campuses. And even though one of the things the Fox piece, which we can maybe post and share, suggested was, although campuses report 91% of them said, hey, this doesn't happen here, we just know that's not true.
And so do you think that the schools do that? Do you think that they cover them up?
I think they won't.
I mean, there's been a real Justice Department sort of focus on that in the past
years. There has. I think that will change. I think that they either don't report or they really, really enforce something. Unless it's been prosecuted, they won't report it.
All right. So there's that. And I'll post that.
Yeah, post
link
the video.
To the video
it's
and
worth,
see what people have to say.
People watching.
Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Is now getting some support outside the NFL. I mean, I think I'm kind of surprised by the vocal support he's getting for not standing up for the national anthem. Now, President
right.
Obama weighed in
yes.
and said, you know, that it's certainly his right to protest. And maybe by protesting this way, he will draw attention to the conversation.
Which is exactly what Megan Rapinoe, so U.S. soccer star from Seattle, knelt, right? She didn't sit. She went down on one knee. She's very well known, very well respected. And to your point, has a very similar look and feel to our Game of Thrones.
Is it Bridget?
It really yeah. does look like her, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, she's very well known and very well respected. She is also openly gay. And one of the things she said was, look, I, as a white woman, want to, I don't want to pretend that this whole thing is only about, by, and for African Americans. I know what it's like not to have my rights protected by this country. And so I just want to start a conversation. I don't want to let this drop, and I don't want it to be pushed over there. So look, people have a right to.
Oh, absolutely. I
right?
encourage the right to do it. I think Colin, I don't know if he's helping the cause or not in this one.
I don't know.
By this way.
Well, it's like when I came in here, you bent down on one knee.
I did, but that's typical, isn't it?
I think just a signal that you were pleased I was here.
Okay, we're kind of out of time.
Oh, no. One more good one.
Can we do it next week or will it?
It just is. Let's just so fast.
Okay, real quick. So Kanye fast. West has a fashion show.
And he put out a casting call in print. For only women who were multiracial could apply.
Okay, but don't agencies often do that?
Not like that.
Or they just don't say it out loud.
Well, they don't say it like that, which basically means if you're white, if you're a dark-skinned African-American, you may not apply? I don't think that's okay, unless you're Kanye.
Well, okay, I see, I wasn't that taken aback by it
oh,
because
I think
if you're
bad.
Selling something and you're going for a look, you know, there'll be casting calls where they say we're looking for white women 35 to 45.
Yeah, but that's for a role. This is for people walking down a catwalk in your clothes. He didn't say a particular weight, a particular height. To fit it. He said, this is what I want your skin color to look like. What the heck?
And Kanye's girlfriends tend to look like that?
Yes. Kim, Amber. So I think it's wrong. But
can you name a third? Has there been a third?
Oh, I'm sure there's been like 25.
Okay.
But the point is it's Kanye, so he'll get away from it. He'll get away with it. But I think it was bad.
Suzanne Muchin, it's good to see you. We'll talk again next week.
Good to see you, Steve.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here on the Business Lunch, 720 WGN. Jill Egan giving you the weather there, but we already knew that. Maybe a storm, too, I think, if we'd hung with Jill a little bit longer. Brian Reinblatt is in the studio, and he's got this new thing going on at Northbrook Court. Well, it's new to us, not to Brian so much. Experience Rock and Roll, and it's taken up some space in the mall there. Brian, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Thank you very much, Steve.
All right, so here's my understanding of what you've got here. I read that it's about the science of instruments, and you can sort of see what's behind why a guitar makes the sound it does, I suppose, or a drum. But it also seems to me like it's just kind of a fun spot for people to go and bang on instruments.
It is an absolutely fun spot for families, for a date, for even an older generation. It took us about 18 months to develop and fabricate this exhibition, and I've never been more proud of how it's laid out at Northbrook Court. It is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. So,
it's your exhibition, though. What, I mean, is it like going to a museum?
It's a little bit like going to a museum. It's a lot like getting your hands on all kinds of drums, instrument, guitars, getting into recording booths. This is truly a chance for you to experience rock and roll.
It sounds to me like it's like a children's museum for adults, where, you know, the kids' museum where everything's all hands-on and textual and all of that.
Here's what's so cool about this exhibition, which I think makes it one of the most unique in the world, is that a 10-year-old kid who goes to that exhibition is going to have a completely different experience than someone in their 40s and 50s. Exact same exhibition, The older generation is on that retro pop. They remember vinyl and 8-track and going to the record store. And the kids cannot get their hands on the drums, the guitars, in the recording booth fast enough. So this is what makes Experience Rock and Roll such a unique opportunity.
Where did this idea for you come from?
You know, I've been promoting and been an entrepreneur for 11 years, been in the sort of a event promotion business for 20, and saw an opportunity with exhibits where all the exhibits out there, and they're fantastic exhibitions, but they're all kind of dusty and old, either right. 100 years old or 65 million years old. No one was doing anything that's educational, fun, and contemporary. So we started brainstorming, and sure enough, what started off as the science of rock and roll has now become Experience Rock and Roll at Northbrook Court.
But there's science there.
Absolutely.
Tell me about the science of it.
So we have a 150-page education guide that goes along with the exhibition. This is about how, you know, our brains listen to music, how what happens to our bodies, what happens to amplification technology, what happens to recording technology, how we have gone from the wax cylinder over 100 years ago to literally millions of songs in your pocket, and the incredible story about how we've gone from A to B.
So we've talked here about, you know, retail and the fact that there's vacant space in malls and all of that. You've moved into Northbrook Court, and you were telling me off the air, I'm ahead of myself a little bit. This is sort of a traveling exhibition, right? So this
correct.
Is this your fifth stop?
This is our fifth stop, yes.
You started in Kansas City?
Correct.
And you're there for a period of time, then you just move on.
So in the past, the business model has been people have leased this exhibition from me. I've set it up for them. They promote it. They use it to whatever purpose it is. This is the first time we've ever been in a mall. And personally, this is a show I've always wanted to do. This is rebranded, interpreted as Experience Rock and Roll, where not only do you get to visit this great exhibition, you get to visit this great mall, do a little shopping. Hey, we got free parking. Maybe watch a movie, spend some time at the exhibition. I love how it's laid out. I love how people have enjoyed it so far. We've only been open for 12 days, welcome all your listeners to come up to Northbrook Court.
I'm just thinking of all the husbands who are dragged to the mall, and now they have an escape.
You know, we happen to be located right across from the Mac store, so people bring their phones in to get fixed, and now they don't have to do for an hour.
All right, because
so
they wait for their appointment.
I got something for them to do.
All right, but we do talk about the fact that, you know, with retail, there's a lot of vacant space. These big indoor malls have sort of been suffering, and so you fit in there perfectly. But temporarily.
I can't speak. From my standpoint, the phone's been ringing from malls. They are looking to innovate. They're looking for new reasons to attract customers. No new customer benefits, no new customers. And I'm happy to accept that call. I'm thrilled to be in Northbrook Court. The group there has been nothing but welcoming to us, and the guests have really, really enjoyed coming through.
You've been open for, a couple weeks?
12 days.
Right. And so how long will you be there?
We're definitely going to be there till the end of the year, and hopefully longer.
Well, so do you think this is a... you're going to keep this forever?
Yeah, well,
I mean, I just wonder if this is something that we're going to see at a lot of malls one day.
I certainly hope so. I mean, look, the ultimate entrepreneurial dream for me is that some investor comes along and says, hey, let's do 100 copies of this.
Right.
My phone's on for that call.
You could scale up to that. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But in the meantime, this feels, even though I've been in this business 5 years specifically, it feels like a startup. And that has got my entrepreneurial juices flowing and kind of gets me excited to get up in the morning.
It's called Experience Rock and Roll. It's at Northbrook Court. Anything else we need to know?
It is open 7 days a week during our mall hours. Our website is experiencerockandroll.com. And thank you all to WGN for having me.
Brian Reinblatt, nice to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Anytime.
Good luck. It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN.